Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 19th of February. Coming up today, we'll hear from a woman whose mum died following a battle with addiction, who's become a patron of the charity that supported her. We'll also hear from vape bosses in Kent following an investigation into the long-term effects of the habit on young people's health. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a court has heard a Canterbury man who was allegedly murdered by his wife had suffered months of abuse at the hands of his partner before his death. Lucy has more details for the podcast. She's here with me now. Lucy, what can you tell me about the trial currently taking place at Canterbury Crown Court?
Well, Maureen Rickards is accused of murdering her estranged husband Jeremy at their home in St Martin's Road last July. Police had been investigating his disappearance when they found his remains at the bottom of his overgrown garden. Despite the condition of the body, they were able to conclude he'd suffered stab wounds, multiple fractured ribs and bones, as well as a broken nose. 50-year-old Maureen was initially arrested on suspicion of fraud after it was discovered she'd been using his bank card in various shops between June 20th and June 30th. Once the body was found, she was rearrested on suspicion of murder.
And the court's been hearing Jeremy had been assaulted a number of times before his death.
That's right. Examinations of the 65-year-old's body showed evidence of old injuries that he'd been recovering from, including other fractures to his ribs and one from previously being strangled. In the days leading up to his alleged killing, neighbours, a taxi driver and staff at Jeremy's local pub say he'd been in a battered and bruised state. The court heard he'd been subjected to domestic abuse, which became more severe in his final days, leaving him in a physical state that was described as vulnerable.
And the trial's expected to last for a few more weeks.
Yes, that's right. And the details of Jeremy's death and how his body was found are particularly gruesome. And you can read a full account of what the courts heard at Kent Online. But Maureen maintains she had nothing to do with his death. She told officers although they were separated, he would occasionally stay with her, but that she'd not spoken to him for weeks. She also said she'd believed he'd possibly taken a job in Saudi Arabia or gone to see his brother.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A homeless woman accused of murdering a man in Strood says she has no memory of what happened on the night he died. The body of Alan Tomkin was found at his flat in Gun Lane last July. His on-again, off-again girlfriend Nina Mercer is suspected of stabbing him after a row broke out. The court heard the 43-year-old, who's currently living in a tent, tried to cover up the crime. Another man is accused of stealing the victim's wallet and cash card before buying groceries and getting cash back. The trial is ongoing. A woman who stabbed a teenager at a flat in Whitstable has been added to Kent Police's most wanted list. Abby Lucas attacked the 19-year-old with a pair of scissors in August 2023. She was jailed for a year but released due to time spent on remand and is now wanted on recall to prison. It's claimed a man suspected of shooting a woman outside a Kent pub on Valentine's Day called a friend to say what he'd done. 43-year-old Lisa Smith died after it happened near the Three Horseshoes in Knockholt last Friday night. The suspect is then thought to have fallen from the QE2 bridge. Police say a search of the water is continuing. It's feared antisocial behaviour is putting people off shopping in part of Thanet. Business owners on North Down Road in Cliftonville say people sleeping rough are drinking and intimidating locals. This man, who didn't want to be named, works in the area and has been speaking to Kristen Hawthorne.
The last 4 to 6 weeks, I think there's definitely been a decline in the amount of footfall walking down North Down Road. And definitely the phone hasn't been ringing as much since this has been broadcasted, and the people have been begging and living near to our shops. So we have drastically seen a downturn in the amount of business coming our way. And I just think that with everything that's been going on, people are just avoiding the area.
And why do you think that so many people are maybe unwilling to discuss this or be on camera and sort of talk about it?
A bit like myself that doesn't want to be on camera. It's a case of we don't necessarily want the reprisal, and I think that people around here are decent people that just think it's easier to not have confrontation than confrontation. These people are confrontational and they have threatened people threatened to kill, and the whole thing is that they look the kind of people that you wouldn't be able to reason with. So I think people don't want to be identified, but appreciate that there's a problem and there's a there's a few now that have got to a point where they feel it needs to be spoken out rather than just tolerated.
And what do you think needs to be done about it? I mean, you told me that they keep moving on down the road, but they may have come back here. Clearly, I mean, it's a busy area, so, I mean, if you were looking for money, this would be the best place to be, really.
Yep.
What do you think should be done about it to sort of be a solution rather than pushing it away?
Yeah, so I don't want to push it away. I don't want it to become someone else's problem. But what we do need, Thanet District Council to come up with a plan to look after these people that have these addictive behaviours with drugs or drink. I believe there is plenty of shelter in Thanet, but they won't take drunks and drug addicts in. So these people have got nowhere to go. They seem to feel that giving them a tent is enough to house them and suitable, but where are they going to put these tents? Like they have done in North Down Road.
How does the issues affect you personally? I mean, do you find that are you a resident here?
No.
Okay, well, what about, like, when you come to work, do you feel any different?
For me personally, I don't think it looks very good. I definitely wouldn't bring young children here because I don't want my children witnessing people begging for money or people that are drunk or high. And then using the local doorways as toilets at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so, no, I wouldn't come here. Personally, if I had a choice, I would pick somewhere else that I felt was safer.
Councillor Heather Keane, who's the Cabinet Member for Community at Thanet District Council, has given us this statement.
We recognise that concerns have been raised by residents around issues related to antisocial behaviour in and around North Down Road. We are working closely with Kent Police, who have stepped up their presence in the area to tackle these issues. The needs of people who are sleeping outside or in tents can often be complex. The council actively engages with people known to be sleeping rough and works hard to encourage them into safe accommodation and provides additional help through partner services. Our community safety team can be contacted about ongoing antisocial behaviour using our online form. The council can be contacted about fly tipping, which is illegal and can lead to a £1,000 fixed penalty notice. Street scene enforcement officers work every day to tackle this illegal activity. There is CCTV in known hotspots across the district. Residents can report fly tipping using our online form at thanet.gov.uk/flytipping.
Kent Online News.
Police are trying to identify a teenager who climbed onto a roof and used a catapult to fire missiles at people in Sittingbourne. A picture on our website shows when it happened on Monday afternoon. The suspect had left the scene before officers arrived. A man's been arrested after two women were attacked in Herne Bay. Police were called to Central Parade in the early hours of Saturday. A 23-year-old's been questioned and bailed. Now, the daughter of a Medway woman who struggled with addiction has told the Kent Online podcast she's determined to help others. Stella Toner went missing from Strood in 2023. Her body was later found in the River Medway. Kirsty has now decided to raise money and awareness for Chatham-based charity Open Road, which supported her mum. She's been speaking to reporter Nicola Jordan.
They help support people with addiction, and they give people counselling, they talk to people. You can come in for a cup of tea or coffee, and there's no judgment. And I think that's the biggest thing. Addiction can be a taboo subject, and there's no shame, and it's nice to feel safe, and it's like a family, and my mum loved it there.
So why is this also very important to you?
I just think I want to put Open Road on the map and raise awareness, as they are a small charity. They're close to me because my mum did suffer with a drink addiction, and it is a taboo subject, and I want people to feel that they're safe and they can speak openly and there are people out there and you can relate. Either if you, as a family, you can relate like us. It is a struggle as a family or friend with someone with addiction, and you can just go in with no judgment.
I think you mentioned a little bit about your mum's addiction. Obviously, I'm not prying, but if you'd just like to tell us why it wasn't something you were so, you know, aware of as a family.
Drink is a common thing in people's life. If you have a good day, you could have a glass of wine. If you have a bad day, you have a glass of wine. And it can be such a slippery slope. You never take judgment on someone having a drink, sitting down, having dinner. And I feel like my mum personally lost her purpose, a purpose of being a mum, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. She was in this regular routine with me and my brother that she'd make us dinner. She would be like the housewife, have a full-time job. And as you get older, we can make our own dinner now. So I feel like she lost her sense of purpose and probably lost herself, and drink become her new friend. And unfortunately, it started becoming an addiction, and I deeply know that my mum didn't like the person she had been becoming.
So if mum's up there looking down on you, what would she be thinking?
What on earth? Why on earth are you running the marathon, Kirsty? And you never used to run before. I think deep down, I know that she'd be really proud of me, and my dad reassures me on that. She loved Open Road, and it was her different life. I feel like we all knew her as my mum, Stella, but we didn't see her as that addiction was completely separate. And I think people in Open Road, with the no judgment, loved her for who she is. And I think she would be so proud, because I feel like she was a people person. I think she also wanted to help people and get them to understand their addiction like she did.
And how are they remembering your mum at Open Road in Chatham? Tell us what there is to remember.
So there is a cafe called Stella's Cafe. So when my mum passed away, we asked people kindly to do a Just Giving, and we as a family done the flowers, and we raised nearly £3,000, and there's now a cafe under my mum's name that people can go in and have a coffee and have a chat.
Kent Online News.
A dog walker has found a suitcase full of guns and ammunition in a hedge near Dartford. Police were called following the discovery on Orchard Way in Wilmington at the weekend. Investigations are underway to find out why they were left there. Lifeboats from Kent have been sent to the scene of a cargo ship fire off the coast of Ramsgate. We're told the vessel was heading to France from Antwerp in Belgium when a blaze broke out yesterday morning. A French vessel has also been drafted in to tackle the flames. The boss of a Kent e-cigarette company is welcoming an investigation into the long-term effects of vaping on young people's health. The government-backed study will track 100,000 children between the ages of 8 to 18 over the space of 10 years. Lucy's been chatting to Mike Cameron, the co-founder of Smoko in Tunbridge Wells.
As a responsible brand owner within the vaping industry, and we've been doing this for over 12 years, any kind of further evidence that could either support or, present the medical facts in a logical way is definitely something that we'd welcome in the industry for sure.
How much of a problem is it with young people taking up vaping and it not being used as the kind of quitting smoking aid that it was initially designed for?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Lucy. And I think if I can start with the second part of that question, e-cigarettes are and have been proven to be one of the most effective ways for an adult smoker to quit smoking. And this is based on years and decades of studies using nicotine replacement therapies, hypnotherapies, and all the other different quit smoking aids that are out there. Vaping has historically over the last 10 years proven that it is the most effective way for an adult smoker to quit smoking. Now, the first part of your question, Lucy, was about, what's the problem with teenagers or underage people using vapes. It is a big problem in this country, as it is in many other parts of the world. And that's a failing on about three different sides of the industry, if this makes sense. So the first one is probably going back to the brands and the manufacturers of the products. Now, there's been a huge influx over the last 4 or 5 years of products that are blatantly targeting younger demographics and kids. So their logos are cartoons, or their flavors are, quite a random mix of flavors that would attract more, kids as opposed to adults. And the flavorings that they're using, and the amount of aspartame and sweeteners that they put in the e-cigarettes is all designed to get the kids hooked, if that makes sense. So that's the first side. The first problem is the manufacturers and some of the brands, are designing products specifically for kids. The second is the issue with the distributors of the products and the retailers of the products. So when we started our business 12 years ago in Tunbridge Wells, there was only one other vape shop here. Now there's over 80 locations in Tunbridge Wells alone that can sell vapes. So that's a huge, huge growth and proliferation, sorry, of the venues that you can actually buy e-cigarettes and vapes. Now, the problem is a lot of these new retailers, they tend to be unscrupulous, perhaps a little bit unethical, and they're touting the laws about selling products that are illegal to sell to kids. So as an industry, we've had regulations in place since 2016 that you cannot sell to people under 18 years old. And for the majority of the big branded vape stores who've got lots of locations around the UK or reputable online brands, they do not sell to people under 18. Unfortunately, it's this new category of retailers who are selling vape products, and they're just concerned about profit. They're not concerned about what they're selling or who they're selling it to. And then the next element or the next challenge in the industry is that the authorities don't have a big enough stick to stop these retailers and distributors and the manufacturers from selling these products and making these products available for kids. So I think the current fine at the moment is not even £200 for a retailer who's selling to a 14-year-old kid. Those fines, in my opinion, should be upwards of 10 grand, £15,000. There should be looking at further consequences, like the directors of those businesses being struck off from company's house, not being allowed to run businesses again in this country, and even jail time.
Influencers are also taking part in a Love Your Lungs campaign with videos on YouTube and Instagram to warn teenagers about the dangers of vaping.
Kent Online News.
A disused school block on Sheppey is going to be turned into a £2.5 million facility for children for special educational needs. It'll allow Snowfields in Minster to welcome 60 pupils in the next academic year. The building was previously used by the now closed Oasis Academy as a workshop. A rescue dog from Strood has been named as a finalist for the Crufts Hero Award. Tilly was found abandoned in a plastic washing basket in the middle of a roundabout when she was just 4 weeks old. She now works as a therapy dog, visiting prisoners, care homes and schools. Her owner, Emily Washington, has been on the Kent Morning Show on KMTV with Cameron and Izzy.
She'd been through a tough time, bless her. It wasn't me that found her, it was a member of the public. So she was around 8 weeks when she came to me. She was tiny, she could fit in the palm of my hand. But yeah, she was technically on foster. She wasn't supposed to stay, but she, as soon as she arrived, I knew she was never going anywhere.
What was it about her that really warmed your heart and why you wanted to take her in and have her part of your family?
She just fitted in from the second she came through the door. She got on well with my other dog. She was so confident, so happy, so funny, such a little character. I knew she was perfect. Anyone that knows me straight away was like, she's your kind of dog, she's yours, she's not going anywhere.
And so what inspired you to train Tilly as a therapy dog?
It was something I'd always wanted to do. My other dog, he's very shy and quite sound sensitive, so he wouldn't have enjoyed it. With her, from the get-go, she was so confident. Nothing worries her, nothing bothers her, nothing phases her. She's so happy to meet anyone and everyone. I just knew that she would enjoy doing it. So she took the behavioural assessment at 9 months old, which is the youngest they can do it, passed straight away. And we've been visiting Mid-Kent College and Hawthorne Manor Care Home since. The therapy work, it's more about their temperament and how they are with new people, in new environments, how they respond if there's funny noises, and things like that. So it was really easy for her. She's just not worried at all. But they do need to have basic obedience, so they do need to be able to not jump up, not pull on the lead and things like that. So going to training classes, and she does take part in other sports as well, so she's very responsive to me and will do generally what I ask of her. So she found it really easy, but it's much more about their temperament and how they are with people and their behaviour.
Yeah, and so can you tell us about some of the places she's visited and the impact she's had on people, maybe any memorable moments?
Mid-Kent College was a fairly recent one. So we started going because they have a lot of like mental health events. So it was to help the students if they were struggling, if they were having a bad day, if they were just feeling a bit low. Then they absolutely love her. They will come and find her wherever she is, and she loves the attention and will play with people, just bring a smile to their face. Our longest placement has been Hawthorne Manor Residential Home. So we actually started there with somebody that I knew through dog training was actually there after a really tough time, and I knew that she would miss her dog, and she actually lost her dog while she was there. So that's what started that visit. But there's been moments where there's been people in there that maybe haven't been interested in taking part in activities, feeling a bit low. And when she walks into their room, it all changes. They smile, they laugh, they'll talk to people, they'll talk to her. And that's the reason why we do it. People absolutely love seeing her, and because she's so small and so cute, she just makes people forget about the worries in life for all of maybe 5 minutes, but it's definitely worth it.
The Hero Award is decided by a public vote. You can take part on the Kennel Club website.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out in the second round of the Dubai Championship. She became upset after being approached by a man with what's been described as fixated behaviour during the match. He was ejected from the stands and she lost in straight sets to Czech player Karolina Muchová. Meantime, the 22-year-old from Orpington has been chosen to compete at a women's event at Queen's Club this summer. Raducanu will be joined by British number one Katie Bolter at the tournament in June. There hasn't been a women's competition at the historic venue since the 1970s. And briefly in rugby, Kent's Alex Mitchell and Ben Earl have kept their place in the England side for their next Six Nations game. They take on Scotland at Twickenham on Saturday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.